cast. Return of the cast. Oh my god. We knew that we'd be back eventually. Don't let her. Hello, Tom.
You're right there.
Yeah, I needed to break out some Return of the Mac there.
And just addressing the fact that we haven't been on air, so to speak, for a few weeks now.
No, we haven't. Partially due to my impracticalities, to be honest with you. We did record a podcast 2 weeks ago, which will be going up around the same time as this. So actually, you'd be listening to one podcast thinking, oh God, it's all said and done for this week. Where's the other podcast? Oh shit, actually, that was last week's podcast. Because it'll address events in the past, but this is the podcast of the future. Yeah, I took home a thing to edit and then didn't actually have my Mac set up for the better part of the week. Then set my Mac up, then I was ill, and then another week had gone by.
We've both been ill.
So. And so I was going to put it up sometime in the middle of the week, and I thought, oh, I'll just put them both up together, give people an audio visual treat.
So that'll be, this will be podcast 90.
This will be podcast 90.
What a tongue twab.
Tomcast. Tomcast. It will be Tom number 90.
Which is, a, you know,
it's kind of a big figure.
That's 10 away from 100.
10 away from 100. Yeah, how have you been? You've been all right?
I've been all right. Yeah, getting used to the living alone.
All no, by right. himself, right. He wants to live all by himself. No, I've been all right. I've been exploring the exciting world of DIY for the last 2 weeks.
It's well, that's always great. How it is when you move into a new place.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass, to be honest with you, but it's getting there. I put up my shelves yesterday. I'm going to show you a picture of my shelves.
Oh, maybe you should share this with you.
I will. It's shelves of my Game Boys. My Game Boys are on shelves.
My Game Boys are on shelves.
My Game Boys are on shelves. Yeah. Cross gone, skew on kettle. And yeah, so I finally got around to doing what I kind of wanted to do here that never did, of putting up shelves with Game Boys on, and they're a bit barren, actually. I've only put two of them up.
See, I waited for you to leave before I changed the Gangster Squad poster.
You did. I noticed it as soon as I came in, and I was like, you son of a bitch. See, there's a space there for the yellow DMG that I'm still missing.
Oh, look at that.
That needs to go in, and then I've got a load of other things.
And you need, like, a picture of a Game Boy in the middle, like a...
I have the lovely cross-stitch print that my girlfriend gave me for Valentine's Day.
Right, yeah.
I also had a bit of fan art that came with something that I'm going to talk about in a little while. Yeah, it's been a good week for pickups, Tom.
Oh, well, has it?
Yes.
No, I can't say the same here, I'm afraid. I'm actually trying to save some money.
I have been spending furniture since we've last podcast. I did talk about it to you personally. I went to my pusher man, Tom. There was not my Vila pusher. I have a separate pusher.
Oh, him?
Yes, the man we've previously talked about
You've
on the
been
podcast.
Been around his house.
Called Moans, who has a army of cartridges.
Did you say Moans?
Yeah, it's like Moans.
Like
the guy at work, Moans is his name. It's spelled like Morgans, but it's pronounced Moans. I went to his house, lovely gentleman, an older gentleman who has collected video games for somewhat on 30 years, I guess, at this point. And I went to his house and I purchased some Game Boy games from him purely because he sent me an email saying like, hey, I just wanted to send you an updated list kind of thing. I've lowered some of the prices on some of the stuff you're originally interested in, so maybe come around and have a look. I did. I will be going back at the end of the month, and I've told you I'm going to take you with me because there's so many good games there that are affordable off eBay prices. You know, they're not cheap, but there are bargains to be had.
I'm sure this I'll find something.
You will. I undoubtedly you will.
Not that I've been totally not that I've been looking so much.
I don't think you would need to look, Tom. Trust me, like I went there because I'd mentioned, I said, hey, can I have an updated list of Super Nintendo and of Game Boy? Just because a good friend, Ali, of the Retro Asylum podcast, i.e. at the Retro Hunter on Twitter, mentioned to me he's going now for a full set of Super Nintendo games. And that means that Soul Blazer and X-Zone, two very, very, very pricey PAL exclusives, one of which I own, were things he was looking to get. And so I said, well, I've come across a few copies of Soul Blazer. It's not that hard to track down in this part of the world. But I thought I'd check if he had it. I knew he previously had a copy of Cool World Boxed and a copy of X-Zone Boxed, which were quite expensive, which I tried to get for a fellow collector on Retro Collect, but they'd been sold by the time I inquired. So I thought, well, maybe he's got something new in, but he didn't. I think he's just trying to shift what he had left now. But a rogues gallery of very, very nice box Super Nintendo games, things like Super Punch-Out, Super R-Type, any Nintendo title you could imagine, like Starwing and stuff, complete in box at very reasonable prices. I didn't really pay too much attention to the Super Nintendo stuff because I knew what I wanted and I was there on a budget, but I looked and I was like, shit, there was some serious things there that like caught my eye. I was like, oh, I could buy that. Copy of Lagoon, which is also quite a rare RPG box. No, but it was more that I looked at the boxed Game Boy games he had, and there's one or two I'm going to be purchasing hopefully at the end of the month, so I shan't mention those. But it's literally, you go in, he has everything put in the box at a set price, so everything in this box is 50 krona, everything in this box is 100 krona. And then it was just kind of like, he had a list as well of all the stuff he had.
Fun.
So it was a bit of a rummage. One or two things he couldn't find, and then I found, and then they were in other boxes. And I said, well, actually, this one's in the 50 krona box. He's like, oh, go on then. So I had one or two things cheaper than what I actually wanted them to be at. I picked up three games. I picked up a copy of Mr. Nuts on the Game Boy.
Oh, nice.
That we're very charming ocean platformer, the exception to the rule that all ocean games are terrible.
I've got Mr. Nuts 2, remember that?
You did, yes.
I haven't played it yet.
I've been playing Mr. Nuts on the Game Boy. I think I may actually do this week's biographic on it if I don't do a Boy Curious video, but we'll see. It's very good.
Oh, really? It's a
plays
good port, isn't
very
it?
Well. It reminds me a lot of the Super Nintendo version. Not as difficult, maybe even a little bit easier, which has helped me kind of breeze through some of the levels, which I really liked. I also picked up a copy of Battletoads in Ragnarok World, which is the first Battletoads game I've ever played, believe it or not.
Say that again.
Battletoads in Ragnarok World.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Sounds as like it needs that. Yeah. You know, that radical. 90s radical...
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok's world. It's a person
or
Ragnarok's something.
World.
Ragnarok's world.
Oh, Ragnarok. Woo!
Needs a DuckTales. So I was looking at that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one. I've only played Battletoads versus...
Double Dragon.
Double Dragon. It's the only Battletoads game I've played.
Yeah. Battletoads in Ragnarok's world is the third one, I want to say, on the Game Boy. There's Battletoads. Okay. There's Battletoads and Double Dragon. And then there's this one. I actually still need to get Battletoads and Double Dragon, but I'll track it
you
down.
You've got Double Dragon on the Game Boy.
I've got Double Dragon on the Game Boy. I've got Double Dragon and Double Dragon 2 on the Game Boy.
Oh, we haven't still got Battletoads versus
I haven't got Battletoads versus Double Dragon, or I haven't got Double Dragon 3. Double Dragon. Double Dragon. Remix. So I picked up that, and then I also got a copy of the terrible Batman Forever, which is possibly one of the worst Game Boy games I've ever played. Had to buy it because of the complete collection, but it's by Acclaim, so you can imagine the level of quality there within.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all in all, like, Mr. Nuts is a very good game. Battletoads seemed very fun. You know, it's not directly developed by Rare, but yeah, seemed like a good laugh. It seemed like something I could get into. I was quite surprised. Everyone keeps telling me how hard it is. Maybe the Game Boy ones are easier, but I didn't really seem to have that much of a challenge
with
it.
That's interesting there.
What's that?
I was just reading about this. Battletoads the Game Boy was, in fact, an almost completely different game from NES version. Battletoads in Ragnarok's World is a more accurate adaptation of the original NES game and was released in 1994 for the Game Boy.
Ah, interesting.
So it's actually a version of
it's
the
a
original.
Port. Okay, that's interesting. I'd like to actually buy the original and see, but he said that he said it was a game he always used to come across. He said he had literally tens of copies of it at one time, but he said it became very popular in the last couple of years. He said, and any time he gets a copy, the price seems to be going up and up for the original Battletoads. Oof. Indeed. So I picked up that, and then I went on my merry way because there were some very nice titles there, but unfortunately couldn't really afford anything at this time of the month.
That's a great cover for Battletoads in Ragnarok's World.
It is. It's very cool. I picked at it. I didn't get it complete in box, to be honest with you, but I'll talk about my slight redirection in Game Boy collecting in a little while.
What?
I'll talk about it in a bit. You haven't bought anything this month, did you say?
This month?
Oh, well.
Maybe not even this month.
Really?
Apart from Shantae and the Pirates something.
Yes.
For the Wii U, a recent release, it's the a port of the DS game.
DSiWare game, yes.
Yeah. With some high-res illustrations. There's a lot of talking, and in typical Japanese game fashion, the characters pop up and chat to each other.
Have they voice acted, or is it just text?
No, there's occasionally... Well, there's just text, but occasionally they say characters' names every now and again.
Okay.
I bought that because it was on sale. Originally £15.99, British pounds, that is.
Yes.
It came down to £11.99. So I was really thinking about avoiding it and not getting it.
Yeah.
But then I gave in this afternoon and bought it.
Okay. And then you had a little bit of a dabble.
I had a little bit of a dabble. And I was expecting something a little bit more straightforward platform game in the vein of classic platformers you might play on the Mega Drive or Super
yes.
Nintendo. Yet this actually is a lot more like Monster World 4. If you are familiar with that game.
I've seen little bits of it that you've played. The Monster World series, I believe, one of your favourite game series.
Well, I like Wonder Boy Monster Land, but that's mainly for nostalgic reasons. But it's a very accessible side-scrolling RPG.
Yeah.
Now, Shantae's not really an RPG, but you do have to collect things, and you have an inventory.
Inventory, my dear Watson.
And you have items that can help you along in your quests and such, and you can access them with a touchscreen. But I wasn't prepared for the amount of dialogue and cutscenes in the game.
Interesting.
They're not too bad, actually. They're quite funny if you want to sit through them all, but they are quite lengthy.
As funny as the dialogue in Shovel Knight?
No. I'm going to keep making this comparison. Shovel Knight is a better game in every aspect.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Did it have the Battletoads in it? Like Xbox One's version of Shovel Knight?
Sorry, no, not on Wii.
Oh,
I don't know.
Shantae.
Special about that?
Shantae. Carry on.
Anyway. So it looks really nice. The art style of the game, the illustration, beautiful pixel art. Mm. Ooh.
Oof.
Top of the range. Of course.
It's what the game is renowned for on the Game Boy Color.
Scaled up to TV size, it doesn't look as sharp, obviously, but it still looks lovely.
I bet it'd look fine if you played it on the gamepad.
It might look a little better if you play it on the gamepad, yes. And of course, you do have that option with the game. But at first, it's kind of like there wasn't so much platforming. It was a lot about getting through an area and defeating the enemies, going through from left to right and defeating the enemies. It wasn't that kind of clever platforming that Shovel Knight has, for instance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really like you think a lot when you're going through the level. It's kind of like you just get from one end to the other and you kill the enemies. And apart from a few platforming bits, there's not a lot to worry about, so far at least. And very narrative-based as well.
Okay, interesting.
The music was kind of... It's very up-tempo, kind of like Sonic.
Yes.
But it doesn't ever create really any atmosphere. It's kind of like... What I used to love about old platform games is you go to a new area, maybe a forest area or something, the music would change. It might be quite sedate or relaxed. You go to another area and it's different. This is kind of a constant kind of noise.
Okay.
Which I wasn't so keen on, but it does... It does sound reminiscent of Sonic music.
So it's a bit of a shame. From what I remember, the game by Callowan is supposed to have a cracking score to it. So.
Yeah, maybe, you know, a lot of people like this score. So far, it hasn't had enough variety for me, a sense of atmosphere in the game.
That's a shame. How long have you played it for, though?
Not long. Okay. 45 minutes.
Oh, shit, really? That long and there's no real variety? Okay.
I didn't notice any. But there's a lot of cutscenes, so...
Okay.
It's quite cool. You have to get a map to get on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you go in a boat and that sends to the next world. And it's like...
So you have to combine a pulley with a rubber chicken to make a thing to slide over and talk to the Swordmaster, because it sounds like a point-and-click adventure.
Nah, not quite. But, yeah, there's a few in-jokes. It kind of reminded me of a Rare game like that. The characters will talk about the previous game they were in together, and... So it's this whole game world, which, having not played the original, I'm not familiar with. But I do appreciate the idea that these recurring characters, and one boss says, oh, I think I've been relegated to the form of like a mini boss this time around, you know, and I used to be like a really important boss last time.
Yeah.
All this. So, yeah, I'm going to keep going with it, but it's not as wow as a game like Shovel Knight. It's not really comparable at present, but it controls very well and it looks very nice and it's got a lot of personality. But so far, platforming is very simple and is basically just getting from side of the killing enemies. So
okay,
there are a few other little. There was like a few set pieces at the very beginning of the game on the first level, but yeah, you'd have to try it out. Be interested to hear what you think of it.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
But that's still an offer at the moment, $11.99 on the Nintendo eShop.
If I get the internet by the end of the month, maybe I will pick it up.
Worth checking out.
Chickity checking out or just checking out?
Just checking out. Okay. I was actually going to have a look if I could get it on the 3DS eShop, but
yes.
I can't get on the 3DS eShop at the moment.
Oh, really?
Because it keeps timing out whenever it tries to update the eShop.
Weird. Hmm.
I think you need to update it to use it.
You do, yeah. That's a Catch-22 if I ever reviewed one.
Yeah, so...
Very peculiar.
Sorry, Nintendo, I
check
can't
that
get on
online.
Your
I had
e-shop.
That same issue when I was trying to download the Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire demo.
Oh, right, okay.
There's a fix to it, I think.
Righto, will do. But other than that, I haven't been playing or buying anything. I kind of feel a little bit out of the gaming loop.
I've been buying a few things just because a few bargains have happened to fall into my lap over the last couple of days or weeks, I guess, since we last podcasted. I finally found a copy of Crayon Shin-Chan 4 for the Game Boy. Well, you know, the Shin-Chan.
Four.
Yeah, you know Shin-Chan?
Yeah, yeah.
Big doe-eyed weird things on Fox Kids on ITV, I believe,
you
later.
His bum out and
you get his bum out and he do that weird like pokey up the ass thing that Japanese kids find amusing. Yeah. I would have found amusing too, but that's sexual harassment. And so the fourth one of this game is, if you remember, Thomas, I had a very, very terrible ROM hack of a game Super Mario 4.
Yeah.
However, it's very unplayable and very, very difficult to play. Shin-Chan 4, however, the game that is actually just Super Mario, it's fine. Like, the original game is actually very enjoyable, very, very playable. Pretty obscure. Like, I've actively been searching for a copy of this game now for the last, like, 7-8 months, and I never one seems to materialise on eBay. No one ever seems to get...
Is it a PAL game? Or
no, it's a Japanese exclusive. But it never seems to show up. I've been searching for it high and low, and I couldn't find it. Unfortunately, a lovely lady called Leanne over at Japanese Gaming for Life tracked a copy down for me. She actively buys and sells Japanese games on this Facebook group that she has. And, she was able to finally find a copy for me, so I bought that. Oh. And she also happened to have the other three. So I was like, well, if you do them all, I'll buy those. So I bought them all in a bundle off for a very reasonable price. So thank you, Leanne. I played it, like I said. It's good. Been enjoying it. And I also got a lovely, lovely gift of some boxed Game Boy games, Thomas. Would you believe? in the mail from a listener who I then sent a small Lego set to of the Lego house in Billund.
Oh, yeah.
Because you wouldn't accept anything else. And, yeah, Jeeb sent me, I will show you the picture.
Please do, Matthew. I'm sorry, listeners, you won't be able to see this, but...
You won't, unfortunately, but those of you who follow me on Twitter, at Game Boyle, will have seen it on there anyway. I think I retweeted it from TMA Cast. But yeah, got those.
What, in exchange for a Lego set?
And he didn't even want the Lego set. I just offered to send him something as a way of a thank you.
Speedy Gonzales box.
It is Speedy Gonzales boxed, yes.
Alien Olympics.
Alien Olympics, very fun game.
This looks interesting. The un-Indian Dan's LaVille.
Yes, French. It is a French exclusive Game Boy game that is very elusive. The reason he was giving them away is because if you see they've got the number stickers on the front of them,
numbers on them,
they've got this really weird like kind of laminate around the box, like a very thin laminate to keep the boxes rigid.
All right.
Like they're actual boxes and they come with official manuals and everything. But they've got this weird film over them, which makes me assume that looking at the numbers, they were like a rental copy of the game.
Maybe, yeah.
And so they're very rigid, a little bit more sturdy than your average Game Boy game. But yeah, he, because of that, and because he only collects French region-coded stuff, and a lot of these games aren't, he said, do you want them? They're literally in the cupboard.
Are the cartridges, like, as they are normally?
They are, yeah. Cartridges are fine. Tintin is missing his cartridge, which I will pick up later down the line. But yeah, a lot of really nice box games. It's Alien Olympics, Lucky Luke, Speedy Gonzales, Pinocchio, Super Return of the Jedi, which is a terrible game, Pocahontas, Indians de Ville, which apparently is a very good film. A French colleague Marie tells me. So okay. Maybe one for Will Cinema Wednesdays. Mm. And then Tintin and the Temple of the Sun. I've played most of them. Un Indien de la Ville, believe it or not, despite being a Titus game, actually pretty enjoyable. Really nice sprite style to it and good platforming to be had there. Which I was quite surprised at.
Little Indian Big City?
Yes, it's about, essentially the film, from what I gather, is about in a small boy who was raised by Indians and then they take him to the city.
Oh, it seems to feature the French Danny DeVito.
It does feature the French Danny DeVito. And some guy in a suit. Because they're businessmen, Tom. They're
That's
serious.
A very funny picture.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. but no, it's supposed to be an okay film. It's supposed to be a classic in the eyes of one of our French colleagues. So maybe worth seeing.
That's it, your French cinema recommendation of the week.
Yes, French cinema recommendation of the week.
What about your Danish Deal of the week?
My Danish Deal of the week, Tom. Woof. Danish Deal of the week, I do. I bought a copy of Disney Infinity 2.0, the Disney edition, not the Marvel
the,
one.
The play box.
The toy box.
Toy box.
Yes.
So I was wondering if it actually came with the game. It does.
And the portal.
Really, the game and the portal?
The game and the portal.
I saw them.
And two figures.
I was in Aarhus yesterday and I saw them. But for PS3, it was 170.
Yeah, for some reason it was
the
in that form as well.
PS4 was 150.
Yeah. I was like, oh well, I don't mind paying 150 krona to check out this Disney Infinity malarkey, see what this is all about.
I couldn't, yeah.
You were right not to.
Yeah.
None,
I didn't think it'd be that good.
None of my niggling doubts after playing the first one for a brief amount of time with a colleague's copy of it really went away. And I would dare argue, Thomas.
Yes, Matthew.
It's not a game.
No.
No.
Is it anything like the Toy Story 3 game I was playing a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay.
100% that. Like
the toy box mode in Toy Story 3.
The toy box mode in Toy Story 3 is this mode, but I would argue what you were playing in Toy Story 3 is probably better.
Okay, I'll stick with that one then. I don't have to buy expensive figures to play that.
You don't, and you don't need to buy any expensive figures anyway because the figures don't really do anything.
Don't they?
No. There's
they
nothing.
They unlock the characters.
They unlock the characters.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do with them. Like,
that's
unless
expected,
you
though, really.
Unless you pay like 30 quid to get the little see-through trophy level thing that like comes with some of those Skylanders packs, like the expansions. Mm. There's no game. Like, to play the Avengers, you need to buy Avengers characters and get the little trophy thing, and then you unlock the adventures, the adventures of the Avengers. And then it's like an hour, apparently, like an hour of game. What's the point of developing this whole engine with like 3D capabilities and like platforming?
So what kind of things can you do?
Well, I played the game for about an hour and a half, and at the start I got to do what kind of niggled me about the first Disney Infinity, is that I kind of played as a load of different characters going through a magical adventure to find this little thing. So I started as Aladdin, did a brief platforming segment as Aladdin.
In the original, you're saying?
In this one.
You've got Aladdin.
You play as Aladdin. But you haven't got the figure. I haven't got the figure of Aladdin. Yeah. So you do a little bit of platforming section, slide on some ropes and go, oh, that's pretty cool. Then you become Tinkerbell and you fly and do like an on-rails flying segment chasing Donald Duck. And then you become Stitch and you climb up a building and then the game starts, in inverted commas.
Right.
And the game was, it took me to the toy box, which is the big hub thing, blah, 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 blah. And I looked around the toy box and it was like, hey, you can do missions and those unlock toys and things that can go around the world. And I was like, oh, that's great. And so I did the first toy box mission, which was collect a load of stuff. So I did that. Then it was like, great, you know how to like build things now and climb things. I was like, great. Then I went in, I talked to the little clock from Beauty and the Beast, and took me into my house, in which I decorated a house, and people came in to look at my house, and they were like, ooh, in their little ways. Then I talked to one of the cars from Cars, and I got to drive a car very unfast around a small track, like a linear thing going through the cityscape, so I could see what had been built in this toy box and to inspire me to build more in the toy box. And then I got out of the car and then realized there was actually nothing else for me to do other than build things in the toy box.
Yeah.
To which point I said, fuck this, and turned the game off.
How do you build things in toy box? Do you have to do missions to gain points to spend to build? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. And there's these little discs that come with the characters that I presume in some shape or form are actually levels, I think.
Yeah, you can buy them separately in little bags, can't you?
You can. I didn't put them down because I was trying to experience what was actually on the disc, like if I didn't buy more of these things. Mm. There's not a fucking lot there. I was kind of disappointed, actually, the lack of content that wasn't, like, add-on-y.
Mm.
Like, at least Skylanders has a game, you know?
Yeah, I like Skylanders.
Skylanders, I could really get behind. Like, when we did that kind of TMA quickie looking at Skylanders... Mm. I was like, oh shit, well, I could buy the fire, dude, and then I could go through. Like, I was actively in my mind going like, wow, I want to buy toys to physically go through these different areas and play this game because it's a very well-made game. Disney Infinity gave me none of that feeling. Disney Infinity pretty much went straight back in the box after I'd gone, yeah, and I put the Stitch on my shelf. That was my justification for buying it.
Yeah, because really, three figures...
It's two figures in the toy box.
It's only two?
Yes.
Stitch and Brave Woman.
Yeah, and Brave Woman, I think, will be forever in the box.
Well, when you think about the price of these figures on their own, they're like 100 kroner aren't they?
This is the thing. I was going to buy Stitch anyway, because I really like the Stitch
figure. Yeah, it's
a
great figure. Yeah.
And as part of the Pacalau, the game over Christmas that I'm pretty sure we mentioned, I have a Groot and I have a Donald Duck. I have a Groot thanks to you and I got a Donald Duck for my birthday. So I have three figures for it anyway. So like maybe I can piss around with Donald Duck and go around and fly or something. I don't know.
Piss around with Donald Duck. Just piss all over it. He's like Conker.
Yes. In Conker's Bad
Fur Day. That'd be a great figure to add to the collection. No, he's not.
Pissy Donald Duck.
Pissy Donald Duck. Yeah.
Yeah, I could get behind that. Why wouldn't I? Probably smell in a strong wind. I don't know, it went back in the box. I wasn't really that impressed, to be honest with you. To be honest,
I'm glad I avoided it.
Kind of tempted to put it on eBay and get my 150 kroner pack and just buy the Stitch figure because it's just going to take up space. Yeah, sorry to be a downer, but I have a colleague in work who has the Marvel pack and I've kindly asked him to borrow the level thing. So I'm going to play that and I'll report back at the actual game. But the toy box mode just bored me to tears. There's no real reason to buy it.
There we go.
Indeed.
Game buying advice of the week.
Still though, 150 kroner for like a PS4 game is not really that bad.
No, it's surprising. I don't know how much... Sorry, I can't remember how much it normally goes for.
Well, everywhere I've looked this weekend, I've been into BR, which is a toy chain here in Denmark, and found out recently BR is actually Toys R Us. Toys R Us in Scandinavia is owned by BR. It's just licensed as Toys R Us. They're all owned by BR. Like BR distributes them, which is probably why they've got the same stock, really.
Right.
I went to BR. I went to a Stereo Studio, which is another media outlet, kind of like a HMV TV UK for listeners. And then I checked in the supermarkets, and it seems to be around the 439 kroner mark.
Wow. So,
huge saving on it.
I wouldn't want to pay that.
I don't know why they're getting rid of them so cheap. It's a bit weird.
When I was in Fona and Aarhus, they were shutting one of them down.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's two in Aarhus, so there's a small one and a big one.
Yeah, there
is. A small one that they were closing. They're getting rid of the stock.
Really? Do you get any deals?
No, there didn't seem to be any deals to be had, to be honest. There's hardly any stock.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Played or bought anything else?
I bought an Ash CD.
An Ash CD? Great.
Yeah.
Did you play it on a CD player?
I bought it because it came with a bonus DVD, a documentary, hour and 20 minutes, narrated by Ewan McGregor about Ash's early years and success of their first album and their touring. And yeah, I wanted it because of that.
Okay.
Not video game related, but yeah, I'm really trying to save some pennies at the moment. So I came away from Aarhus with buying lunch and just buying that CD for 50 kroner.
Yeah.
Although I was tempted by a couple of other things. None of them were games. So. Oh, yeah. I thought, I might get Smash Brothers. I thought, maybe you can play that on Thursdays. Because, you know, I play video games every Thursday night with a friend back in the UK. And at the moment, we're just playing Wii U. I haven't got an Xbox 360 myself at the moment in Denmark. So we've been playing Wii U. And Wii U chat is amazing. Wii U chat is fantastic. I mean, when it works, I mean, it's like Skype in that respect. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's a bit dodgy. But you can draw on each other's faces as you talk to each other. Oh, it's so infantile what we were doing. Obviously, you can probably guess.
Cocks on foreheads.
Yep.
Cocks in mouths.
You can dress each other up and put little hats on.
Mustaches.
Mustaches. And
piercings, eye patches.
Endless fun.
Oh.
I do recommend it. And actually, the first week we tried it, which was last week, which was no podcast last week.
Yeah.
Which is why we didn't mention it. Worked perfectly.
Yeah.
Without a hitch. I was like, this is better than Skype.
Yeah.
This is really, really good. This week it didn't go quite so well. But it's a very user-friendly thing. It's a lot of fun. As Nintendo things are a lot of fun.
Yes.
You know, it kind of fades in when you see the pit, it goes blub, 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 blub.
Oh, okay.
And then when you say goodbye, it kind of fades out and goes blub, 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 and says wave goodbye. You go,
really? Ah, okay.
It's fun. And prior to that, after that, we played Mario Kart. But of course, being on a Wii U, you can't chat where you play Mario Kart.
Which
unless
sucks.
You had Skype open somewhere. And
yeah.
You're just chatting over Skype
where
you played, which we'll probably end up doing next time.
Yeah.
But I thought, I need some more games to play. And I thought, maybe I'll get Smash Brothers. But then I remember that Gareth didn't have Smash Brothers. And so I thought, I'd have to convince him to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm
kind of tempted to buy Monster Hunter 4.
Really?
I've heard Monster... I've been listening to a lot of Giant Bomb, and Monster Hunter 4 is apparently the most accessible version of Monster Hunter. Because I've listened to that podcast for a very long time, and they played Monster Hunter 3 when that came out, and they kind of weren't sold on it.
On the Wii?
Yeah, well, on the 3DS and the Wii, like Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. But they seem to be on board with 4 and are likening it to Dark Souls, which is a game I do very much enjoy. So I'm kind of tempted, maybe.
Yeah, who would you play it with?
I don't know. That's
you have
the
to
only thing.
To get it.
Maybe I would. I don't know. I don't know if I care that much. I don't know if I've got enough time to invest into it.
Is it out?
It is, yeah. It's on the 3DS.
Oh, not on Wii U?
No, not on the Wii U.
Is it coming out on Wii U?
No.
Oh.
It's only on 3DS.
No, Monster Hunter 4 isn't coming to Wii U.
No, it isn't, unfortunately. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't.
Maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't.
What I am getting at the end of the month, though, Thomas, is actually a little something. I went to a flea market today.
Oh.
I'll mention before that.
Yeah.
First flea market of the season. Not really a lot. It was in Yelling, which is a little town north of where we live. And went there and had a little poke around. It was a really nice indoor, like, setup. You know, like when you watch, like, American find videos and, like, people go into, like, thrift story things, like, where there's people have constant stalls set up. It kind of reminded me a bit of, like, that, but it was obviously, like, you could rent the stalls there.
Yeah.
And so they were all made out of, like, packing crates, you know, like the crates that you would see in a supermarket that they'd have stock on, the wooden ones. It was all made up of those. They were, like, dividing the thing, and it gave it a very rustic feel.
Rustic.
In, like, an old little town hall. It looked really cool. And so I had a walk around, and there was nothing really of interest. I saw a copy of Gran Turismo on the PS1 that had Give Bid written on it. So I was like, oh, I'm not even going to bother off in Trinity Corner. I don't want Gran Turismo. I walked around the corner. There was a few of those play and plug things, like the Sega one and the arcadey looking one with the joystick with, like, Pac-Man and Namco games built into it. And there was a box of PS2 games, nothing really that caught my eye, though. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's a start. It's nice to look around. I bought some mechanical pencils, actually, which is the weirdest thing.
I bought some mechanical pencils, actually.
This is who I've become. Who looking at furniture, and I was like, oh, mechanical pencils. No, they had really nice, you as a graphic designer yourself can relate to this, they had really nice steel pilot mechanical pencils, like a one with, like,
you
a nice
calm down.
Grip. I can show you them. I brought them over to show you. It'll be fine. So I bought those because they were like 5 kroner each. One of them in a nice box that had been used. Ooh, mint. CIB pencils. And then I got home and I had a little browse on eBay. Cause it's like, well, I was maybe going to spend some money here. Maybe I'll just have a quick browse, see if anything complete in box or something's come up. Because I have officially hit 150 Game Boy games to go. I have 150 left to buy.
Out of how many?
Out of 467.
Wow.
So there's 150 left. So I'm going to pretty much slow down my collecting of it now to the state where I'm going to really look for 10 games at a time and just to prolong it a bit, not buy any more games until those 10 games are bought. So I'm going to go, okay, well, I want this one, this one, this one. This one's a bit shit, so I'll mix this in with this. And then kind of stagger my enjoyment of collecting for it. Because I know as soon as I collect for this, then I'm going to be like, oh, well, I'll buy other stuff now.
No, no, don't.
So I'm not going to. I'm trying not to. So I'm going to stagger.
Don't go for a complete in-box Super Nintendo collection now.
No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. So I'm thinking, well, maybe if I buy, and I think maybe I'll do this when I get closer to 100. But I think maybe if I get to the stage where I've got 100 games left, I'm gonna keep doing this 10 thing because it seems like a very reasonable thing. Because otherwise, I'm just gonna buy games willy nilly. No one wants to buy games willy nilly, and get like 10 games, pick 10 games out, and go, okay, I'm gonna buy these. When I get to 100, I'm actually thinking of whatever the 10th game is, then buying it complete in box, just so I have a nice little cushion of boxed games.
That's interesting. It might be quite tricky to find these specifics.
Exactly, but I think that'll be part
slow
of the fun,
down.
You know.
Sorry,
it'll
slow
me
down.
So I won't have to buy ridiculous amounts of Game Boy games.
It might really slow you down. It doesn't matter because you have such a backlog of stuff.
Exactly.
To review.
Like, I'm on this week's, like, the week after this podcast is released will be the 37th episode of Boyographic. Not to mention I've got a backlog of stuff for Boy Curious videos now, and I've got other bits and bobs, so I don't really need it, so maybe I should focus on buying some furniture and actually getting my apartment sorted out. Yes.
Down.
Saying that, I looked at eBay the other night, and for £120, there was a lot on eBay that I went to go, oh my god, on and buy. But before I could even click on the article to look at the things in closer details that it sold, it was 10 complete inbox Game Boy games, and a complete inbox Game Boy.
Okay, yeah.
So Computer Box Game Boy usually set you back 60, 70 quid at a buy-it-now price.
Yeah.
But one of those games, Kid Dracula, £300 Game Boy game, and it would have been a British one, so I could have bought that, I could have then upgraded it to a British one, and then sold my copy, and then I would have still been in money.
Nearly.
Yeah, but it's okay. I'm happy I have one in box.
I wouldn't have minded this. I'm going to show Matt a picture
of an Alf
phone.
Wowzers trousers.
It's £55, that.
Is that in Blast from the Past?
Yeah, Blast from the Past. Derby.
Why don't you own that right now?
I really want it. I need to inquire if it works.
You need to own that. Like, if it... Think about it. Bonus Christmas is coming. £55 for that wonderful Alf phone. While you're at it, you should also buy Alf on the Master System.
Yeah. I'm going to buy Alf the movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one where he's kind of interviewed by an FBI agent. Yeah, right? I remember that. That's good. I'll watch that with you.
They track him down at the end of the final episode of the series. And
they do, yes.
Four.
However, pipped to the post by this copy of Kid Dracula, I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll find something else. And I did, Tom, for a very low sum, which I'm going to pay when I get my bonus. I clicked buy it now, like you wouldn't believe. Because I planned on getting one at the end of the month anyway, and
so cheap. Spit it out.
I'm just going to turn the picture around.
Oh, you did.
I did! Complete in box Virtual Boy, the American one.
Well, if it's the American one, you can't play a Japanese game on it.
You can, it's region free.
Oh, good.
It's like every other Nintendo console.
Your Japanese game, that's right, you've got one game.
I actually have two. Well, now I've got a double of one, because Teleboxer is complete in box in this lot. So it's an American Game Boy, Virtual Boy, computing box with all the instructions and all the leads and stuff. I have a step down converter, so that's not an issue. I do need to buy an AC plug, but they're like 15 quid because they produce thousands of them and only 10 game Virtual Boys ever got sold. So
you haven't got a plug with
it? I haven't got a plug because it came with batteries originally. But
you can put batteries in it if you want.
You can put batteries in it, doesn't last very long, but the plug's like a tenner, so I'm just going to buy a plug. Came with a copy of Teleboxer, like I said. It came with a copy of the Virtual Tetris, which is a Japanese game. A copy of some baseball game.
And what's again?
£120. But Thomas.
It sounds all right.
But. Sounds reasonable. Well, a boxed Virtual Boy set you back somewhere in the region of £200.
Yeah.
But the creme de la creme of this, you can't really make it out on this
is
image, is that there's a copy of Mario Tennis with this lot.
Yeah.
This copy of Mario Tennis is the American copy of Mario Tennis. Mario Tennis was never released with an official box. The only way to get a box for Mario Tennis was if you pre-ordered it through Blockbuster.
Oh, and that's the box there.
And that box there, Thomas, will set you back in the region of about £130-140.
Don't tell the person who sold this to you.
I will not. Well, it's already away now anyways. But, yeah, so I got a box copy of a very rare game, so if I were ever to collect the 14 Virtual Boy games...
That might be your next collection after the Game Boy.
Maybe, because it's small and manageable, and I've already got two of them. Well, in all fairness, like, I don't really want all the games for Virtual Boy. Like, a lot of them are like bowling and tennis, and I've got Teleroboxer, I've got Mario Clash, I will now have Mario Tennis.
What about Mario Wario Land?
I will be buying Wario Land, and I will be buying a Japanese copy of Jack Bros, because fuck paying £400 for the American one when I can buy the Japanese one for 30 quid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very happy to have one. I can't wait to go home and play it.
Oh.
Because it'll be going to the UK, so I will be going back over Easter to pick it up.
Great. Now I'll have prime place in your new home.
It will have prime place in my new home. Now that my Game Boy games are also at the cabinet, it has a nice shelf to go on so it can be displayed in its glory.
Yeah, very nice, very nice.
Yeah, but, you know, that price, like, a boxed Virtual Boy would cost more than I paid.
Yeah, you've done good there. Well done.
I did do good there. And I actually had to kind of say to Marta, like, look, I'm going to buy this. Is that okay? I said, yeah, sure, it's fine. Because she knew I was going to buy one. I was also tempted to get a Famicom at the end of the month, but I'm going to hold off on that for now. I don't want to go down that route just yet.
All right.
But I do want a Famicom. But yeah, I'm just going to pay for this at the end of the month, and then Bob's your uncle. So I'll go home, get it, and then come back. Should be all right.
Yeah. Great.
Tidy beans. So I can look forward to getting you to experience the Virtual Boy.
I can't wait to have a go. I missed out at the Play Expo in Manchester when I last had an opportunity to stick my eyes in.
There was
one.
A small child. There was a small child. Said,
he
right?
was, yeah, he wasn't it. Getting off that virtual. He just wasn't leaving it. He was very engrossed in the virtual world.
Yes.
In his own virtual reality.
I should have bought an Oculus Rift. I could probably get one of those at the same price, but each to his own, eh?
The looking into the past, not the future.
Exactly, Thomas. Always looking backwards. I'm going to invent the wheel soon. Yeah. I can feel it.
Nice. Yeah,
so I picked that up because, as we've talked about long and hard on this podcast, I've always wanted one.
Really hard.
Really hard. And yeah, now that it was there for the taking, like I was going to price one up. And to be honest, I looked. There was a Japanese/French website, like if they had an office in Japan that was sending the games from Japan to France. And on there I looked and it was like €120 for an unboxed one. But I mean, this one I can see is in good nick, and the guy is selling all his collection, which is why I linked you that Panasonic Q, the shiny
very
silver
cool
Game Boy.
Although it doesn't work.
Doesn't it work?
It says it doesn't work.
Oh, right, okay, never mind then. Yeah, it's not worth that much then. I thought it worked, yeah, everything else seemed cool that he had. Like, he had an Atari Jaguar boxed for £200, which is insane. Because I remember, that's how much they're worth now.
Mine got one.
I remember Atari Jaguars being like £30 in Game Station, and me going like, why the fuck would you ever want an Atari Jaguar, and ignoring it?
And still, why would you want an Atari Jaguar?
Tell me about it. I know.
I do own an Atari Jaguar controller, though.
Really?
There you go.
It's a weird controller, right?
It's a funny one. It's like a telephone.
I would like to hold that.
Yeah, if ever, it's quite comfy.
When if I come and visit you and crew at some point over Christmas or whatever, I'm gonna hold that controller. Because I took the piss out of it on Twitter, and then people are like, oh, you held one, it's really comfy.
It's
and I'm like, what?
Comfy, yeah.
It looks like a fucking baton for beating people with.
Yeah, it looks like a phone.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Because it's big, like, yeah, anyway.
Long.
Like a big fat piece of toast.
Yes, big fat piece of toast. Okay, any more for anyone?
Well, we've got releases for this week. What's coming out this week, I hear you say. Well, you can play Fruit Ninja Connect 2 on Xbox One.
Can I?
If you really want to.
No.
You can go out and buy Worlds of Magic for Mac and PC.
Can I?
And that's all you're going to get this week. Sorry, you can buy then the 20th of March if you have a lot more.
Yeah, you do. Final Fantasy Type-O.
You have Battlefield Hardline.
You do.
And Mario Party 10. And
yeah.
Mario versus Donkey Kong Tipping Stars.
Which is a cross-buy, so you get it for the 3DS as well.
So Mario Party 10 does sort of interest me, even though I'm not really a fan of the
If you bought Mario Party... If what? What's that about? Is that the golden Mario? Oh, it's Toad, never mind. We've seen this whole Mario fever as well. They're selling them for like $900 on eBay. I hope they just come out in the Europe, like on regular shelves. I'm just going to buy 12 of them and just melt them in a microwave like that guy did with his Majora's Mask 3DS. Did you see that? Some guy put it in a microwave and got like 50,000 views. Yeah. Yeah, but like someone pointed out, it's just like, don't click the link, because you clicking the link is getting him ad revenue. So he's probably made the money he spent on the 3DS back by just melting it in a microwave.
Yeah,
I know. People are weird. The internet's a funny place.
If you want to check out my cookery videos, you can on Toodlebug500 on YouTube.
You can. You can see Tom cook a variety of things. I also guest star looking worse for wear in
There's
one
a new
of your
one
videos.
Now.
I know. I'm going to have to go watch
You know
it.
About it.
You've told me. You've
Welsh Rarebit.
Yes, Welsh Rarebit. Cheese and
That's
toast.
Just a little plug there for those who want something a bit different.
If you want to watch me play Game Boy games, you can Game Boil on the old YouTubes as well, and find me on Twitter at Game Boil. Ooh. If you've liked this podcast, however, you can check us out at the usual places. You can go to facebook.com/TomandMattAttack, where you can have a browse of our past episodes and some images to do with the show, some funny ha-has. You can check us out on Twitter at TMAcast, which I use very sporadically these days because I very rarely use my personal Twitter account either because I'm trying to wean myself off Twitter a little bit. You can also find us then at blastprocess.com and at tomomatattack.com, where check you can listen to this podcast.
I was going to say, check out all those Let's Play videos that are on Blast Process at the minute. Content coming out of their ears over there.
Some celebrating the unfortunate passing of Terry Pratchett. Sir Terry Pratchett, should I say. There's a Let's Play of the original Discworld just
where?
Being uploaded.
On Blast Process?
Yeah, I saw it on the old YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So you can check that out. I've never played the point and click. I'm only familiar with Discworld Noir. I remember you play as a little wizard, but I can't remember much past that in Discworld 1 and 2. And yeah, you can find us in iTunes, where you should give us a cheeky rate and subscribe if you like the podcast. And that will be it from us.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We'll love you and leave you.
We will love you and leave you. God, I can't think of anything Cilla Black said. I slipped into her accent.
Surprise, surprise. Here's Al Graham with a quick recap.
Damn it, that's what I was trying to think of. Here's Al Graham. Oh, I can't do it. Am I? Right. Until next week.
Recapping the show.
Until next week, guys.
My name's not Graham.
Your name's not Graham. Game on.
Game on.